Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Friday, and it's the first day of May, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. We're in day 7 of our 12-day teacher's training, and starting this afternoon, everybody's going to start presenting chapters, and it's really exciting. Energy's high, and it's moving right along. Let's welcome Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. We're honored and delighted that you're here to share with us in this ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness. And forgiveness is quite a different thing than what we have in this culture been taught it is. In fact, it's the exact opposite of what we've been taught. We've been taught that if I'm in pain, it's all your fault, and all I have to do is forgive you. All I have to do is let you off the hook for my pain, and then everything's handled. But of course, if I let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me, I've done absolutely nothing to address my pain. I've simply let you off the hook for what I'm generating for myself. In the ancient Aramaic, you'd never be invited to do such a foolish thing. You'd be given a tool with which to change the content of your own mind to forgive, to remove whatever belongs inside of you. And when you start to do that, everything changes. There's a powerful addiction, however, in our culture to pardoning in place of forgiveness. It's a powerful addiction to what's going on in my life is all everybody else's fault, and therefore I should be letting them off the hook. So we're here to change that idea. We're here to change that dynamic in the world and to bring forward the actual first century Aramaic process of forgiveness in a way that empowers people to remove, literally remove, their capacity for any form of hostility or fear. It's a pretty awesome place to be in. When you get to the point where less and less your mind is even capable of producing hostility or fear. And as you move forward in your process, your body feels better, your diseases tend to go away, everything just tends to change. You'll excuse me if my GPS barks in your ear, but I ran out to get some food for the intensive, and so I'm actually in the van right now and on my way back to with some food so that we'll be able to eat. And so, is Dr. Tim with us today, Jeannie?
I have not seen him on the switchboard yet. No.
Oh, okay. Well, then, let's see if we've got anybody with a hand up.
He just pressed one. Hi, Dr. Tim.
Hey there, sir. Dr. Tim, how do you be, sir? Well, I think he pushed one. And maybe he's mute challenged. I've been
here
before.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
There you go. Loud and clear. We got you.
All right. I think we were talking at the same time. Anyway, I'm here, and we had our second support group of the week last night and listened to an hour of Guy Finley Guy Finley's version of Dr. Michael Rice and dismantling the false belief that anything outside of us can pain. And so that was lovely. And then we had a discussion that went through the rest of the evening, and people talked about how the conversation was really stirring up their stuff, and it seemed to the one participant as though I specifically selected this lecture just to push their buttons. And so it was quite lovely. And I don't remember if we talked about Tuesday's group, but Tuesday had another nice, powerful worksheet process, and we watched the more recent version of codependence to interdependence. So with a week off in the middle for Dale Allen Hoffman's visit, now we're going to be watching two versions, one from probably 15 or 20 years ago, and then one from 2009 or 10. And it's just fascinating to watch how the material has changed and developed, and the comments from the group relating to how much more they got out of it this time around. And we've talked about that on a regular basis, that technology that you wove into the DVDs to make sure it changes between viewings. So every time I listen to it, it's different. And we had several people commenting about that. And I think it helped because we had just, you know, 2 and 3 weeks before, watched the older version and of codependence to interdependence with Dr. Michael Rice. And so it really, really stirred things up for people in lots of different ways, because there's not just the material about the issues of codependence and interdependence, but there's also this powerful demonstration that, oh my gosh, this sounds very different to me than it did just 3 weeks ago. So it's a lovely process, and we have just fabulous people engaging in it, loving, creative people, and I'm thrilled to be part of the team. Are you still there?
Well, I am. I'm not sure. Michael may be unloading the van or something right at this moment.
No.
Oh, there he is.
Actually, with driving, I had to pay attention to my driving and couldn't get to my mute button. But one of the things that you trigger in me, Dr. Tim, you know, when I think about it, people go back through and look at all the worksheets that are on the website for Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And if I were to do a video of all of the ideas over the last 35 years that have come into the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, come in and gone out and come in and gone out and shown up in different forms, it would probably be a 300-hour video. And, of course, we have to select, you know, and basically what I've been doing through trial is just watching how does this part of the tool impact people, and does it carry them forward. And so, you know, what's in the latest 7-step worksheet is what I've found is most effective. There are other effective ideas. Again, if I integrated every idea into one worksheet that's ever been in all the worksheets, it would probably be 4 pages long. And so we try to set it up so that it's useful and as functional as possible without having to cover everything that's ever been there. You know, the announcement I make at the beginning of a Y workshop is always, you know, this workshop was originally designed to be a 2-week workshop, and if you really want to comprehend it, you're going to have to hang out with it for a while to really integrate it and bring it into what really works and what it's really all about. So that's fun that you're showing the older version of the DVD and the newer version. What in particular keys in the newer version that's most important to you?
There are two levels of things that strike me. In the newer version, the audio is not very good, so it's echoey.
Oh, really?
But that's not one of the things that strikes me. What strikes me is that in the presentation in the beginning, you do a much more full, there's a much meatier presentation of the active role of perception and how we're creating our own internal experience, and the you do the parable of the shiny silver disc, and it's just, you know, it's more well developed than it was 10 or 15 years earlier when you did the first presentation. And that parable of the shiny silver disc appearing in someone's mind, when in actuality there's a pivot point and four blades spinning around, and the shiny silver disc doesn't exist anywhere but in the mind of the person whose eyes can't keep up with the rotation of the spin of the blades. And then how you flesh that out into the full active style of perception or process of perception that each of us do in every moment, which helps people realize, and I think in a, as I said, it's a meteor, it's flushed out more in the later version, that everything I think I'm seeing inside my head is completely confabulated. And Michelle had an example the other day where she, you know, she said to the man, "I'm so glad to see your wife here," and he said, "She's not here," and Michelle had to do a double and triple take and was just shocked because she literally saw the face of a woman on another woman's body who wasn't even there. And we do that kind of thing all the time, but we don't, it's not pointed out to us that we do it, and we're not taught to take responsibility for it. And I think you hit that differently in the second, in the older version. And then the other thing that hits me is in the second half, you draw out the power person dynamics differently. You have woven in the file folder effects. It was clearer to you. And you end up drawing a diagram that represents more accurately how there are three images of people in each person's head at a minimum, and how those are created from the contents of different file folders in the mind. And if somebody violates goals that I'm holding, that I used to hold for my power person, or my power person held for me, then instead of making the image in my mind based on my interactions with that other person, I begin to make an image in my mind based on my interactions with my power person and believe it's the person standing in front of me I'm looking at, when it's really all old brain cell material. And the way you draw that out on the diagram in the newer version is more powerful for me.
Yeah. Well, definitely that workshop has been a learning process for me, and that relationship replacement dynamic is so powerful when people see it and recognize, when looking through their past experiences, when that happens for them. It's just amazing. And of course, the next level of the next time we would do that video, and I don't know when that will be, but we'd be moving still to another level of the individuation of perception and recognizing that everything that we see through, what we think we see through our body's eyes, is in fact simply a picture painted on the inside of our bodies or the inside of our eyeballs by the content that's moving and resonating in us. And I think that once again takes it to just a whole other level. And of course, as we learn, we get to explain and understand, and certainly you can realize that somebody who's never been through the process has no brain cells and couldn't explain it, and certainly couldn't translate it. When you look at the translations that the Greeks did, not having experienced this full-blown, full active presence of love, it's hard to talk about it in Greek because there aren't words for it. So it's all just a really exciting and interesting and dynamic process that keeps moving forward. And you know, I think that to be involved, one of the blessings of this work is that it's not finished, and hopefully it never will be finished. No one will ever take it and say, "Oh, well, now we know it all. Now we finished it. This is the dogma. This is what you got to believe in. This is it." Because once the work has died, then we're now dealing with people who are dead. And so it's a very dynamic, forward-moving process. It's just ongoing, continuing, and rock and roll. It's pretty cool.
I agree.
Yay. So, Jeannie, do we have anybody with a hand up in the phone queue or anybody with a question in the chat room, comments in the chat room?
No. Conversation in the chat room is really quiet. Nobody has their hand up. We have multiple callers out there, though, so if somebody presses one, you're first in line without waiting.
Cool. Well, let me just share, excuse me, sweetie, you had something else to share?
That's okay. I was just going to say, that it has taken us 3 class periods to get through doing the worksheet and all of the processing that's going on, and the people, they're in teacher's training, so they're preparing to be able to teach this. So that in itself brings forward a lot of questions. But more than that, it's been just a lot of processing, well, what do you mean by this? And, well, how do I do that? And, of course, we opened the Why workshop to other people to be part of it with us. And I just think that it's been really powerful going through the worksheet process this time. I mean, it's always powerful, but it just seems like this time, especially 3 class periods, just to get through a worksheet.
I think it was 4, wasn't it? This morning was the 4th one. We started the night before last. We did 2 sessions yesterday and then
That's
one this morning,
true.
So it's actually
yep.
4. So,
yep.
And some of those sessions went longer, so it probably took 10 hours to cover the whole workshop. And this morning, after the session, one of the participants came to me and said, well, I just have to take smaller bites, and it was just too fast and too much for me. And it's like, well, we just did in 10 hours what it usually takes me 4 hours to do. And, of course, one of the games of the mind is I can't understand it, I can't keep up with it. And, when I do it in a 4-hour version, I rock through the material quite purposely with the idea of, there comes a point where in order to heal, we got to be out of our minds and to move through from a mental process and stepping into the energetic process of the whole thing is the key. And, of course, for every person, that happens at a different place. But it was definitely an interesting process. And, when we first, years ago, I would not do teacher training. People would ask me if I'd do a teacher training, when it would be, and I wouldn't do one. And finally, I had one particular person who was doing support groups just like, well, I just feel like I need more training in this. Do a teacher's training. So I finally said, okay, I'll do a teacher's training. And interestingly enough, that person who inspired it, pushed it, never did show up for teacher training. But the teacher training in this work is different than teacher training in most things where, if you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, an Indian chief, you get training and it's A, B, C, D, and it's all stuff you get in your head, and then you go out and you repeat it. And that's not what this work is about or the teacher training is about. The teacher training is really about engaging in the process, experiencing the process, and then sourcing the process in your own unique way as opposed to replicating what I do. And so the whole teacher training is about stepping into processing and moving through our own limitations as the principles unfold and we get deeper and deeper understanding. So it's a whole different process in the way the world would tend to do things. So is there anybody with a hand up in that phone queue or anybody in the chat room with a question? I'd love to hear from someone and see what kind of dynamics are going on.
Not yet. It's really quiet. So, we have 40 minutes, and it seems like we get down to the last 5, and all these hands go up all at one time. So, there's a hand. Awesome. And I believe this might be Julie. 541, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey there, young lady.
Well,
how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
We've got somebody here, Julie, who's plotting with another person in the presentation that they're going to do. And it's your
former
partner from teacher training back a few years ago.
Oh, that's going to be fun. He's really fun to work
yes.
with.
Yeah.
So which chapter is he on this time?
I'm not even sure what Bill's got.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to hear it. Well, anyway, have lots of fun with that. I'm looking for my notes because I wrote some notes yesterday. Oh, I know where they are. 2 days ago and yesterday I was listening also when Dr. Tim came on and reiterated, I found them, reiterated that he and I had a dialogue-ish kind of thing, and I was talking a lot, and he suggested that I go back and re-listen to it 2 days ago, which I did. And then listening to you and he talked yesterday as he discussed what some of what had transpired. Anyway, I'm going to see if I can put this together. I was able to see that I was coming from a goal of wanting to encourage others. And I kind of come from this energy of wanting to support others, which stems from, you know, other kinds of energies inside me. So and I'm trying to get to a point before anyone wants to catch me on my language. so I was able to see that
that was what
I was. You
don't want
us
to support you on your language? Is that it?
I do. Well, I do. I don't mind that, but I need to get to a point here. Thank you, though. I mean, if you really feel it's important, I'll take it.
cool. Okay.
Yeah. So what I got to see, let's see, as I kept looking at this for the next day or so, is that I was, Dr. Tim actually intervened at a certain point and said he was getting lost in my, you know, words and all of that. And I realized that I was coming from telling a story because I thought I had to tell the story in order to build a context in order to encourage others, which was my goal, okay? And what he caught for me was interesting. He caught that I was interspersing a lot of truthful statements and yet it was... then I would go into my egoic mind's way of wanting to figure it out. He didn't use those words, but I'm trying to get it across. So what I wanted to say is that I actually, yesterday when you and he were talking about it briefly, I actually was able to see that I actually felt myself go into the energy first and got myself back into the energy and perception so that I could tell the story. That's a habitual behavior of what I do to be able to get a communication across. And then I recognized, speaking of the teacher's training and my partner Bill, who we did a skit together with, that's what happened for me in that skit also, is that I went, in order to generate a script for that skit on the fly, you know, it was pretty spontaneous, we had an outline, I actually became into the energy of what the skit was about in order to create a script to project to make the skit happen.
Okay.
And
so I'm getting
I think you might remember
story,
that.
Please.
Huh?
So I'm getting lost in your story. So
I know,
where are we going? What's the bottom line of where you want to go with your question, your thought, what have you?
Well,
notice that you get lost in your
okay.
story too, as you say. And,
right.
And it might be
and
time
just,
in your life to stop getting lost in your story.
Okay, here it is. I get caught up in trying to communicate with. And I have to go back into the, I think, I believe, I just feel myself go back into the energy of it, and I become distressed and it interferes with my communication. It's an interfering energy, and that's what Dr. Kim and you, I believe, pick up on, is the actual true energy going on, and I feel it too. And it's I thwart myself with it. Yeah. And I don't like that. I want to be an effective communicator. So I do apologize. And I know that that's not what I'm asking for, what Dr. Tim was asking for. That's me going into that energy now. So
yeah. So take a breath.
Okay.
Take a breath. And yeah. I'll just invite you to notice that in order to teach, you don't have to fill every second with words. And maybe there's a habit, maybe it's a defense mechanism, you know. Maybe there was a time when the way you survived was to keep talking, you know. Baffle them, you know, there's that old saying, if you can't convince them with words, you baffle them with a certain kind of excrement. And so maybe to just be able to let go of the need to do that, and maybe you kept your power person busy with words and it saved you. And you might just let yourself let go of all of that energy, and you might do some worksheets around needing to baffle with words, and just let yourself get centered in a still, quiet place and find the principle that you want to express and express that principle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So a worksheet on, you know, needing to protect yourself by the use of many words might be good.
That would be like in the 1A?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you'd be in 1A. So who am love, feel. It sounds like you get confused. So the feeling might be that of fear at being confused. So I feel fear.
Mm-hmm.
And then 1C is using too many words. And the thought, D, that causes the fear is confusion. You know, I mean confusion. The goal that you might want to cancel. There, good breath. Good breath. There might be a variety of goals to work with and letting go of, you know, in step 3 to 5. Bring that love forward, and you might cancel the need to protect yourself with words.
Mm-hmm.
You might cancel the need to distract people with words. You might cancel your need to have clarity. All of those goals, when canceled, will lead to healing different parts of the mind and freeing you from that old dynamic, which is what I hear you saying you want to be freed from.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, you got our support.
And I guess I was really noticing, maybe for the first time, that how I do project from an energy. I generate from it. I don't think it's, I'm really creating anything necessarily. I think I'm just generating the same old stuff.
Confusion.
So, yeah.
That'll be a good one to let go of.
Thank you. And so my goal is
Dr. Kim, have any thoughts for...
Mm-hmm.
You have any thoughts, Dr. Tim?
Well, what I would say for Julie and anybody else is just describe what I do. So when I'm on an interaction on the show and I get triggered to anything less than a good insight, a pleasant feeling, an expansive joy, if I get triggered to any negative emotion, I either try and do a worksheet right after the show, unless I'm seeing a client right away, and or I go back and listen to the show and let myself see if I get triggered again, and then do the worksheet on whatever emotion it is that's been triggered for me. And I do my best to focus on what gets triggered in me rather than the words that are being said or the logic or who's right or who's wrong. And I try to do my tapping, my breathing, my worksheets from that perspective and what comes up for me. And one of the most powerful examples in the past year happened last August. It's August 28th. In the archives, you can go back and listen to how I got so powerfully triggered in a discussion with Michael. And what has worked for me is to realize at deeper and deeper levels in every interaction, whether it's on this radio show or in my personal life or my professional life, that everything I feel is my own doing, is my creation. And my most important creation is my emotions in the moment. And if I don't like the emotions I'm creating in the moment, I want to use the tools I have at my disposal to create a different emotion. And once I've got that more loving emotion, then I can go back and look at, does there need to be a clarification about a logical point or a communication? And most of the time, it isn't even necessary. I got what I needed by working through the emotions, the negative emotions that I was creating in response to what I thought I heard. That would be my offering.
Oh, thank you. I took some notes on that.
Awesome.
Thank you. Wow.
Another good breath.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Just take some effort. I can do that.
Well, remember that it's all a process. It's not an event. It's not going to happen overnight for anybody. It's a process.
It's awesome.
You're in it, you're engaging it, and you're right on track. It's awesome.
Okay, thank you. I'll be
cool.
Okay. There must be someone else now. Yeah. Thank you.
Are you
all
breathing?
Right.
Are you breathing?
Yeah. Well, not really
what?
Well.
Not
right. Really
all
well.
Right. Let me, Michael, let me just feed in here that.
Yeah, go.
Julie, you just said that all of this confusion was coming up because what you really want to do is help others learn this, 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 and this. You're worried about taking care of other people. And now here it is, and Michael's asking you if you're breathing, and you're saying, no, there must be other people. I'll go now. Making space for other people when that's not what's needed here.
No. Thank you.
So go ahead, Michael, with what you were going to coach her through.
So what's up for you? What's happening?
I guess maybe the word confusion, I don't use that very much. I don't like to see myself confused.
Yeah. So how about a mind shifter?
Okay.
And the mind shifter would be, it's safe and healing, and I love it when I'm in total confusion.
It's amazing how these work. I love it when I'm in total confusion.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So what is that? And for anybody who doesn't understand what we're doing with a mind shifter, is the idea of a mind shifter is to take a part of the mind that's resonating and intensify it so that one can drop into deeper and deeper levels of the parts of the mind that are hidden. So as you embrace that confusion, you look at, you know, one of the questions that comes up in this work often is, how does it look like your life? If you look at the first 10 years of your life, how much of it was spent in confusion?
Yeah.
And so if I keep telling a story, it sounds like I know what I'm talking about, maybe. Maybe that's your defense against your confusion. Whereas if you just let yourself be still, you have to face what's going on in your mind. And, you know, usually what that looks like is whatever's conflicted in me. And so it's safe to embrace those things that are conflicted in you.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, good breath. Good breath. That's awesome.
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing it to light. I never realized this. I have been avoiding confusion. I'm seeing myself as confused, which hasn't worked. I've just been remaining myself in confusion. I've just been keeping myself there.
Right.
Yeah.
So remember that confusion is nothing but conflicting thoughts. You know, mind energy, thoughts, are like light energies. If I have a whiteboard in front of me and I shine a red light, a blue light, and a green light, now we know scientifically there's no such thing as red, blue, or green. That's an interpretation of the brain. Red is one wave shape or frequency. Blue is another wave shape or frequency. And green is still a different one. If I take all three of those lights and shine them on one spot, I will not get clarity on red, blue, or green. I'll get a mix. I'll get a muddle. I'll get a confusion of those three different frequencies because they are additive and subtractive. By their nature, they are additive and subtractive. So I get a mix of the three. Now, the mind works in precisely the same way. The mind works with frequencies, energies. And so if I've got some old painful realities around an issue, and all of a sudden clarity and the energy of healing comes forward around that issue, that energy is coming in, and up comes my conflicting thoughts, and now those two try to mix, and I have mass confusion. And if I keep pouring in, keep connecting in with the truth, I'm going to flush out the conflicting derogatory energy until I come to clarity. But I
wait,
cannot...
that broke up a little.
Okay.
That last phrase broke up for me.
Okay. So if I keep pouring in truth, then I'm going to keep surfacing every frequency, every energy that conflicts with it. And as I keep bringing it in, then, and, you know, of course, the worksheet is about pouring it out, taking the stuff out, removal. Then I remove the conflicting energy until I simply come to clarity on that topic. And that means there's no more conflicted mind energy around that issue in me. So let's use an example. We say, you know, you were created in the image and likeness of love. You came in as pure being love. Now, that's a clear, simple, straight statement. That's true about all of us. But for most of us, we got a few different kinds of messages. Messages like, you're not good enough, you're stupid, you'll never be good enough, you're in the way. You know, we wanted a boy, no, we wanted a girl. I mean, we just did this exercise in the intensive here. And so all kinds of different answers come up. So when I put the thought in, I'm made in the image and likeness of love and am the clarity of love, then every thought of self-hatred is going to come to the surface. Every thought of self-deprecation. So many people went to church and they were told all kinds of lies about themselves. All of those lies have to come to the surface. And when they come to the surface and meet clarity that I am the offspring of love, made in the image and likeness of love, those energies are going to mix together in their minds and thinking is going to be pretty choppy. There's going to be confusion. But if you are focused on where you're going and you keep pouring in the truth, what's going to happen is it's going to displace all of the choppy energy, all of the conflicted energy. I'm going to be free of it. And then I just bring in the simple thought, I'm created in the image and likeness of love. That's who I am. I'm guided by that. That's all. It's simple. It's straightforward because I've done the work of cleaning out what's been conflicted. Now, when you recognize that you are the inheritor of 1,000 generations of thought, you're not only going to get to clean out your conflicted thoughts about being love, but your mother's conflicted thoughts. How much clarity do you suppose your mom had around the idea, I came in as the active presence of love, and that's the truth of my being? How clear do you suppose she was on that idea?
Yeah, not.
And Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And how clear do you suppose Dad was?
Yeah.
So you're the inheritor of all of that. And then when you look at their parents, how clear were they and their parents before them? Ultimately, it's about cleaning out whatever isn't true. And every time we move something that isn't true out, there's going to tend to be confusion. It's just a stage in the healing process. Remember, the physical, mental, and emotional symptoms of healing. On a mental level, healing looks like any kind of negative thought I've ever had and confusion. Just part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, that's really good that you said that. That's good. You know, I've heard the symptoms of healing, and I've written it down. This one today is the mental one.
Yes.
Which, because hold on to my pretense that I'm not confused, but also. Okay.
So when you're confused and you pretend you're not confused, that can be really confusing. And you know, sometimes one of the most therapeutic things we can do is have a good laugh at ourselves.
Yes, definitely. Oh, thank you. Oh, my gosh. Thank both of you, Dr. Tim, for that interjection again. You know, I do appreciate it. So, wow.
Well, you know, you're only getting it because you deserve it.
Oh, thank you.
You're only getting it because you deserve it.
I need a mind.
You deserve this.
I deserve this.
And you deserve the attention and support of moving through what you need to move through. And so that's what we're here to do, is support you. And you know, there are probably 200 other people out there listening to this going, man, that's me. And so they're getting clarity as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. This, I am being supportive and encouraging, but not as
mm-hmm.
a layer of pretense over the truth.
Right. Exactly.
That feels so much better, too. Thank you.
Delighted. Honored and delighted.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate you, and we hold the space, and we'll look forward to the next time that that we get face-to-face.
I just wanted to ask one quick question about your talk about the light. I do remember that in a DVD. Is that in the Why Is This Happening one, or which one is that in? Do you know? The red and green and blue light.
You know, I'm not sure.
I'm not either.
That explanation applies in several of the workshops, so I'm not sure which DVD it is. I insert it in many different places when
maybe
the topic comes
up. Well, I will come across it because I actually have a support group. I have two people coming on Sunday. Yay!
Awesome. So here's your assignment. Sit down and watch all the DVDs, and when you run across that one, let us know.
Okay. I was just saying I will be watching them with my group. So I do anyway, but I will let you know when I find it.
All right.
I'll remember.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 646-200-4169 is the calling number. We would love to hear your sweet voice. Jeannie?
It doesn't have a number, it's got a name. So, Jane, you are on the line.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm new to your show, so I don't really understand exactly how you work.
Okay.
I've been going through a lot of things. I think I did experience some intense healing stuff that I had experienced a couple of weeks ago. And it's left me with this flu-like feeling. I'm just not feeling well at all. But yet I'm not really sick. Like, it's not, you know, I'm not it hasn't changed. It's the same.
Right.
And I'm doing a lot of writing and journaling and doing all of those kind of things, reading things that are positive and doing what I can to support myself. But it's the physical piece that's driving me crazy.
Yes. Yes. So in the Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop, we go through one of the reasons why most people really don't want to do their work and don't want to delve inside is because you have to experience and go through whatever's in there. And so we talk about healing on three different levels. And it sounds like with you know, in the context of the conversation we just had with Julie, that you're getting to new clarity in your life. And when you get to new clarity, you have to process through those energies on every level. So we just talked with Julie about the confusion aspect.
Right.
But on three levels. So on a physical level, healing looks like any kind of physical symptom you've ever had and low energy. So you'll go through the eliminative channels opening and releasing, which a lot of people call the flu or cold. They're never going to find a cure for the common cold because the common cold is not a disease process. The so-called common cold is a body that's vital enough to be throwing off what it doesn't belong. When we try to shut that down, when we drug ourselves, we shut that down, we eat a lot of junk or, you know, a fifth of scotch or prescriptions, what happens is that gets stuffed back in the body on a deeper level, and the next layer of the cold is the flu. People who won't take care of themselves and do the things necessary to help break up mucus deposits and, you know, keep the energy moving through their structure, then we'll shut down the flu, and that ends up being something like pneumonia in the lungs or what have you. So mm-hmm. when you go through that healing process on a physical level, one, there's a tendency for there to be low energy. Have you been experiencing that? It's like, geez, I'm kind of draggy.
You got that going on really well.
Okay. And then physical symptoms. So you, what you want to do is you want to keep doing the right things. That is, like, for instance, I'm going to drink lots of fluids. Probably one of the biggest pieces missing in our culture is that when people need to heal, they don't take the time to go through what they need to go through and simply rest and take care of themselves. You know, I actually just went out and, you know, the beginning of the show, if you were on it, I shared that I was out getting some food for the intensive, and I just poured myself a quart of apple green juice, and that's going to be my lunch. Just using fluids to flush and wash the system out is an important part of the healing process, and then taking care of yourself by resting. And, of course, the mental, so that's the physical, low energy. When I'm vital enough to start to take apart an old construct in my physiology that is toxic. You know, if I've eaten a sad diet, I've eaten the McDonald's routine, that sort of thing, then my body tends to become pretty toxic. If I'm doing more of the right things, I'm going to build to new levels of vitality, and my system's going to say, okay, now we can throw those things off. It takes a lot of energy to literally undo and crack those things open that we've hidden from ourselves. And then once we've cracked it open and the body's detoxifying, which looks like a lot of symptoms, then to reassemble that energy pattern in its proper form takes more energy. Got to give yourself the time to rest. Lots of fluids. Lots of eliminative foods. One of the first things when people get a cold oftentimes will do is they'll head for congestors. Oh, I want a grilled cheese sandwich. Oh, I want another glass of milk. I want, you know, potatoes. I want starch. I want things that congest. And that just totally works against that healing process or that cleansing. So in that state on a physiological level, it can be helpful to use a lot of eliminative foods. So fresh fruits and vegetables, raw fruits and vegetables are things that will help to go through the structure, open the eliminative pathways, flush out and wash out the eliminative channels. So something like a good kale salad can be a great thing if I'm going through detoxifying my alimentary canal. apples, you know, things that are eliminators can be an important part of assisting us to move through that that physiological thing. And then what's going to happen when I'm taking care of myself, I'm giving myself rest, I'm eating eliminative foods, then I'm going to tend to go back and process some old feelings that went along with the original suppression that occurred on a physical level. So I may find myself in old negative thoughts and confusion, as we just spoke about with Julie. And then on an emotional level, the same healing process looks like any kind of negative feeling that I've ever had, and depression. That's a symptom of healing. If I'm moving the energy in the right direction, the symptoms of disease are absolutely identical to the symptoms of healing. That's why a lot of people would rather just drug themselves. I don't want to do my work. I don't want to deal with this. So let me just take a pill so I don't have to feel it. But the only difference between the disease process and the healing process is that in the healing process, I'm vital and the symptomatic energy is moving out. In a disease process, I'm devitalized and the symptomatic energy is moving in. So another really useful tool to have is what I call cosmic grease. And that is willingness. I'm willing to embrace the state that I'm in right now and, you know, be in that state of cosmic grease. Jesus is not Dr. Feelgood, but healing is not Dr. Feelgood. But when you come out the other side, all of a sudden you're not lugging around that load that previously you were. So willingness is an important key in the process. And if you haven't touched into the forgiveness tool yet, what you might want to do is go to our website, which is whyagain.org, whyagain.org, and there's a bullseye in the middle of the page. And if you just follow the links, the steps in that bullseye, it'll take you right into how to do the forgiveness process, which literally is from the first century Aramaic, and it's how to crack at the core what these energies are that are locking my structure down and causing me to hold energies in that don't belong. And so the ultimate key is, because this energy system is ultimately organized and reflective of what we engage in the way of mind energy, that forgiveness process is how to start to crack that level open. And so if you click on the bullseye on our website, first link will give you a free copy of chapter 24 of my book. The second link will take you into the worksheet process. And if you hit that second link, you want to take the first worksheet and just print that. And then the third link will actually lead you into some particularly powerful radio shows, as well as, I think there are 14 different radio shows where we spent an hour walking someone through the whole worksheet process, whole first century Aramaic forgiveness process. So you'd probably find that would be really useful while you're taking care of yourself, while you're resting, while you're breathing, and doing all of the above. And that empowers you to move what never belonged in your structure out of your structure. And that ultimately is what healing's about.
Well, I think I know that on a conscious level, and I've done a lot of this stuff, I guess. This time it has felt very different, maybe because the way it's come about, because I don't...
It sounded really... like a Canadian about.
Yes, it is a Canadian about.
Oh, what part of Canada?
Not far from Toronto.
Oh, I was born and raised in Hamilton.
Oh, okay. I know Hamilton, of course.
So we're neighbors. Cool.
Yes. Are you in Canada now?
No, I'm actually in Orlando, Florida. We're doing an intensive here at a hotel in Orlando, Florida. We're on the road.
Oh, but you're from?
About 35 years ago, I discovered there was a place that had no winter, and I moved south. That was a no-brainer for me. Like, I'm out of Dodge. I don't think this winter stuff is human.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're on track, and you might find that a reading of the book, and you can download the whole book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, on the website for free, and you might find a reading of it will help to fill in some of the blanks and just support you in, you know, heading to the next level of what you need to do. It sounds like you've intuitively tapped into a lot of the principles, and you may just find some, you know, some support along the way, and that forgiveness process.
I started eating paleo earlier this year, and I have a question, too, if I'm eating the right food, which is,
yeah.
And I've sort of have not followed the traditional route. I did that before, and it's like, no, I'm trying to learn to listen to my body better and hear what my body needs.
So, good idea.
Yeah, and it's just because I think we're all different, and I'm starting to learn that way, but I have some questions on that. And I think that was part of when you're not feeling well physically, that was part of my concern was, am I eating the right thing? Because I know it's very important, obviously.
Yes, definitely. So, definitely important to listen to your intuition on that one.
Yeah, yeah. So do you cover that type of thing as well in your book and your information?
We do. We do.
Okay.
There's a workshop we do called Naturopathic Keys to Health, and it's Naturopathic Keys, and that's a DVD that's available on our website. We talk about the whole dietary regimen, and then we also do a course called Laws of Living, which is a 16-day residential course that we teach at our teaching center, Heartland, in the Ozarks in southern Missouri. We do that each summer at Heartland. And we spend a lot of time talking about nutrition. And when we do an intensive, such as the intensive that we're doing now, we do a total fresh and raw dietary regimen. We don't cook anything. Everything is fresh. Everything is raw. It's simply food as it comes from the ground. We don't do anything from a box or a can. It's all actual food. And so the food program is pretty awesome. It's highly eliminative, so it tends to set up elimination for people that, and with the SAD diet, with all the congesters that have been brought into the fray and the, you know, overtly insanely high levels of proteins that create all kinds of havoc in the body, doing just fresh and raw fruits and vegetables opens a whole other level of detoxification and rebuilding. And so we're in the middle, as I say, of a 20-day intensive here. And I just, for lunch today, decided that I'm doing just a glass, about a quart of an apple juice with some greens in it. Cleansing.
Yeah, I do that. I have a smoothie every day, and I try, you know, obviously I'm eating paleo. I've been doing more of that. Let go of a lot of the carbs if I'm not able to do the gluten thing anymore. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I found a lot of the replacement grains were just, you know, there's nothing in them.
Right. Yeah.
I was having a lot of difficulty with those, so I felt better, but I'm not sure if part of my challenge isn't from that as well. So it's hard to know when you're just...
A lot of the grains grown in the culture are so hybridized and so,
yeah,
you know, so far away from the original structure of those grains that the body doesn't really recognize them very well as foods.
I don't think so. For me, it didn't work. I don't know about other people, but for me, I felt like it was just turning. I may as well just have eaten sugar.
Right.
And I think it was bothering them, having reactions. But it just... I guess I kind of hear what you're saying, just eating the green vegetables and fruits and trying to
We do have a book that you can order from our website that is called Recipes, and it's over 25 years of doing this, actually going on 30 now, I guess, of doing this, the intensives using fresh and raw food. We've got a book, Recipes, with all of the you know, the favorite recipes and ways of putting foods together. You know, people, when they go to an intensive and they're like, what are we going to do, eat lettuce and carrots? It's like, no, we do some awesome stuff and, you know, put it together in a way. So the recipes is one of the things that's on our website. And we are down to just the last few seconds, I just realized. And so I'm going to have to close the show out, but it's been a delight talking to you. And I'd love to hear, if you check out the worksheet, how that works for you. And if you have any questions, then we'd be delighted to support you in using it. And in the meantime, we thank everybody who joins us every day that you join us. Bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Look at Heartland's intensive schedule for this summer. Come and join us. We'll start in July with a 10-day food, fun, forgiveness, and work program. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye. Love and continue.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Sleep.